Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody, welcome to episode 305 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. Send you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
On tonight's spectacular episode, using big words tonight, I've decided, we are going to be talking about Divergent, Ghostbusters, Netflix going down, not in a good way, but in the crash way, reviews for Star Trek, Ghostbusters, Tarzan, The Boss, Midnight Special, Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens. Trevor, you're a sick man for watching that tonight during this premiere. Can't wait to talk to you about that, as well as Stranger Things, the trailer for Justice League, Wonder Woman, Hacksaw Ridge, Great Wall, Split, Office Christmas Party, and King Arthur. We've got a packed show tonight. We've been off the air. Yeah, exactly. We were really stuck in a while. Tonight. Yeah, so let's get into it, though. I got some trivia here. I know we talked last week when we did a little trivia. It was Morgan Freeman and Keanu Reeves in the Chain Reaction movie. This week, getting back to Keanu Reeves, according to the Wachowski siblings, because the siblings now, you know, no longer the brothers, the siblings, why did everyone wear sunglasses in The Matrix? Do you know this one?
I don't know.
I found this kind of interesting. When they did screen tests, they noticed that every time they were firing these weapons, they were blinking so much. So they put sunglasses on them, and it instantly covered the fact that these actors couldn't stop themselves from blinking, which is a natural reaction, but doesn't look very cool. And if you watch the films of Schwarzenegger and Stallone and whatnot, and Van Damme even, Seagal especially, they try very hard not to blink when they fire those guns, but it's a natural reaction. I've read past things where Schwarzenegger's talked about trying not to blink when shooting a gun and how hard it is. I mean, that's a hard thing. Plus, it looks cool when you're wearing sunglasses and shooting a gun, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does it?
I thought The Matrix started the whole trench coat, dark glasses thing.
Well, Terminator, he wore glasses.
That's right. That maybe was the first killer. Well, so did Dirty Harry. He wore glasses and said, yeah, those gargoyles. Right. All right. So we're going back some time.
There are probably plenty of Westerns where people wore sunglasses.
Will Smith did in Wild Wild West.
There you go. So there's one. So
there's always one.
Well, one proves the rule.
Let's get into some talking about movies here. I want to talk about Divergent. I've still never seen any of these. Are these worth my time?
I don't know, but I've seen everyone but the last one. So I'm patiently waiting for the last one to come on HBO, I guess. I don't know. I can't remember where it comes. I think HBO has it.
Yeah, HBO does carry.
Just because I do want to see what happens. They were, they were decent. I don't know. They weren't good. They weren't bad.
Middle of the road adaptions.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to end as a film series. Somehow they're going to set them off into a television series. It's going to end on TV and then set itself up for a spinoff series. This is troubling because Lionsgate really pushed this. This was going to be their next big franchise after The Hunger Games stopped, and it has not proven to be that. The first two did decent business. The last one did not do good business at all. But that's also because they're spending so much money on these things. Why? Don't split these last ones into two films. This is what you get when you do that, right? This is that mentality backfiring.
I don't know. I mean, this seems to be, this was the Spielberg-Lucas warning that we got a few years back, and it seems to be coming to fruition, right?
This summer, especially.
When you look at, all the movies, including, Star Trek Beyond, right, Ghostbusters. And it's not terrible, right? These movies aren't going to break the bank, but the issue is all together, when we spend this amount of money and we just do kind of fair, it kind of begs the question, why are we spending all this money, right?
And if you look at adjusted box office, I went and looked at some numbers from 1996, and you look at something like A Time to Kill, which grossed about $110 million in 1996 money, and you adjust that for today, that's $225 million. There is rarely a film this summer that's going to do that, that's not a superhero or a children's film, and that was just a courtroom drama based on a novel. You know, there's nothing like that that's doing it. I mean, the movies from 15 years ago that are doing $100 million in sales – it's $150 million now, which is bigger than most movies this summer. It's kind of troubling when you look at that. And Ghostbusters, which is our next topic, is now crossed $100 million as of this weekend. And the Ghostbusters toy line has been shown to have stronger sales than expected. You sent me this article in Variety, and you said this is why is a franchise.
I mean,
right?
I had an argument with someone recently about this as well, and that was I mean, ancillary is always going to be something with this that doesn't exist elsewhere, right? I mean, with a lot of other franchises, like Fast and Furious, right? If this was a Fast and Furious opening, that it may kill that franchise. But this is a franchise because they're selling other shit.
Yeah. T-shirts, lunchboxes, all sorts of shit. I didn't realize how much of a cultural phenomenon Ghostbusters was.
Neither did I.
Yeah, I really didn't. And
right?
I watched,
it's everywhere.
I'll give my review later, but I can say this, that in the theater, every time somebody made an appearance as a cameo, there was a loud applause. Like, it was strange to me, and I've heard this from multiple people in different showings, that, you know, when Murray shows up and Aykroyd and all these people in little bit cameos, in their very bit and unnecessary cameos, that they were going apeshit like it was some sort of fucking rock star. And I'm thinking, did you people forget that Ghostbusters 2 sucked? Is everyone forgetting that?
But man, I mean, to be fair, it was the same similar reactions when we saw Expendables, and those movies sucked. But people nobody seemed to give a shit then. And certainly no one came back to watch the better ones, which was really the third one.
Isn't that the sad
part
of that?
So is that kind of maybe something that might happen with this, you know? You never know.
All right. Well, the strong toy sales are driving this, and I think kids are a lot more forgiving. In fact, when I was in the screening, there was some very young children in there, and they were chanting Ghostbusters, you know, as they came in. They were stoked on it. I thought, man, I didn't even know that kids knew what Ghostbusters. I just thought this was kind of an, you know, Caddyshack-esque comedy from the 80s that older people, our generation, quoted. I didn't know children loved this idea.
Yeah, that was a surprising thing, right? Seeing even seeing the young girls now that are dressing up as Ghostbusters, and you think, God, I never knew. And this was before the movie had even come out. They were showing these pictures, obviously, because of all the blah, blah, whatever was going on with that, with the remake. But it's like, obviously, they've been shown this by their parents, right?
There's been some re-releases recently, too.
Yeah, they didn't go down. Oh, give me a break. They didn't go down to the fucking theater to go watch this whole movie, right?
I did, goddammit.
You did. That's like, so I can fully expect then, because the Planet of the Apes is playing, right, in theaters. I fully expect to see young children running around in ape suits. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
You damn dirty apes. Let's talk a little bit about Netflix. Netflix been having some problems. Netflix crashed last night. Saturday night, prime time. Too many people on their servers. We don't know. Did they get hacked? Hell, maybe Russia did it. I don't know. Point of the story is they were down, and they released an interesting stat that they said that the average person, get this, spends 18 minutes surfing for things to watch. I wonder how long the average person watches that movie before falling asleep. Because, you know, nobody – I spend more time deciding what I'm going to fucking fall asleep to on there than actually watching it.
Right, right, yeah.
And I fall asleep to the menu a couple times.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, it's what people did with normal TV as well, right?
Yeah, channel surfing is always going to be big.
Yeah.
I think Netflix too, I mean, not Netflix specifically, but there's so many streaming options. I know I have, have Hulu. I mean, I got HBO Go and Netflix and Showtime and all these things. And there's so many options that it's almost overwhelming. I'll decide on something, and then immediately later, I find myself, how the fuck am I watching Jem and the Holograms? You know, what's going on here?
Oh, that is on HBO, isn't it?
Yeah, where'd you find that? See, you wanted to watch it. You were interested. Where did you find that?
Because it's new. I've seen it, but I haven't seen the movie, but I did see that it was on HBO, and I remembered when you said that, but it is new. It is something where you come across and go, ooh, that's new, but I haven't watched it still, so.
Put that in my memory banks. Let me go ahead and watch it.
I just want it to be available to me.
Right, yeah. I want somebody to offer it to me and go, nah.
I just want new shit. If it's new, I feel better. I'm not interested in watching it, but.
Well, The Onion a couple years back did that real mockumentary show that the couples, you know, for $2.99 a month, you can get the Netflix plan.
You can just search for stuff. Yeah.
Right, where you just can search.
You just get
titles.
The menu. Yeah. Which might be worth it, man, at $2.99.
At least give me like a 5 minute pass.
I could eat up an afternoon, but that's no different than, and I know you did this too. And I worked in this as well as you did in video stores, but we used to go to video stores, you know, and just stroll down the aisles, right? It's no different than that.
Oh, my Blockbuster was my sanctuary. It was my safe place. Go there and go, oh, look at this. It's, oh, they have Star Trek 2 in the wrong place, these idiots. You know? In fact, there's a crazy guy. I don't want to call him crazy. He's just very organized, apparently, who haunts the used video store down here with all the tapes that are random. And this guy is awesome because I know when he's been there because I'll go and like one wall will be like The Mummy Returns. And it's like every copy like
organizes them
together. Yeah. There's like, this is like a warehouse from 2000.
He's like OCD for real.
For real. I mean, next time you go, you're like, oh, he found all the aliens in a different, like, it's a CBS original box. And there's the re-release. And,
right.
Yeah, he's a very organized.
He built a small house out of the Titanic VHSs. Right.
And this guy, and you go, I didn't know they had so many copies of A Few Good Men. This is insane.
Right.
Just goes to show you what people were buying at the time. If people bought that many cassettes of the Phantom Menace and Titanic, it's unbelievable.
He's over there creating like a T-Rex out of the Jurassic Park VHS and shit, right?
Remember the guy that was collecting the Speed videotapes?
Right, yeah. I wonder how many he finally got.
Well, I think that guy eventually just said, stop sending me this shit. People were getting them.
Right.
I mean, I've moved with a massive movie collection numerous times, and that is a pain in the ass. So I can imagine people just gave you free Speed fucking videos. Throw that shit in the garbage.
Well, yeah. I mean, the trash bill would be huge.
Let's talk a little bit about movies. I want to do some reviews. We've got a lot of movies to talk about.
Should we take a break real quick?
Let's take a break. We're rolling along here. Let's get to the commercial. Let's pay the bills.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
This is the super duper awesome trailer for the Force Viewing podcast. So, Joria, what do you think should be in this?
Lots of girls.
Well, I'm liking, you know, explosions and robots and sci-fi stuff.
No! Boys have cooties, girls, and blood. Lots of blood.
But we should have in there stuff that has nothing to do... Oh, actually, you know what? Dan, what do you think?
Well, I think...
Actually, we're completely out of time.
ForceViewing.com!
Who the hell are you?
Was there someone there they didn't know?
Someone recording this. I don't know. That commercial sent me into a strange space.
In Russia, you do not watch Netflix. Netflix watches you.
Now we're on the list. Thanks, bud. All right. I want to ask you, how was Star Trek Beyond? I didn't get a chance to catch this. You trekked out and saw it.
Damn.
And I'm impressed because you left the house and saw a movie in the theater for the first time.
Well, this is one that I really like the first two of this, and I love the cast, and I really do like the writing, and all, and even in this one, really top notch writing, decent direction. Although I will say that you can't really tell this is a Justin Lin movie, you know, aside from the fact that people kind of. Are superhero-ish.
Yeah, a little larger
Like Fast and Furious. Yeah, they're a little bit... It's a bit much, you know? I mean, I don't know. Why is Uhura so well-trained for close quarters combat? Beyond me, but okay.
Why wouldn't she be? She's been through the academy. Right,
I got it, you know? Yeah. I mean, okay. Communications officer. I mean, the whole point of this movie is that they're a peace-seeking kind of mission thing. You know, they're not military anymore, yet somehow they're fighting all the time, right?
Right.
But it was a lot of, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Between the first two, where
is
this?
It's so episodic. Well, it's so episodic that it really is just... It's a standalone thing, much like the second one was, and really the first one. But the second one did feel more of a continuation of the first one, whereas this feels... like just an episode, right? At any given period of time during this voyage. And it's very much a rehash of the second one, but just a little not as heavy, you know, not as philosophical. Obviously, they don't make it all the way back to like Earth and shit in this one, but the bad guy is very much just a different flavor of Khan. And I don't know, I'll agree with some other criticism about this, and that it doesn't... The problem with this new series is that it doesn't embrace the full philosophical, exploration that the original Star Trek did. It's very much just a wham bam kind of a thing.
I'm okay with that.
Lots more action. If you watch this, it's set up to be that way. It's set up to be philosophical, right? The bad guys are philosophical. They're fighting a philosophical war, right? But there's no exploration of that. You know, you just kind of learn what it is and their reasons for why they're so angry. And then Kirk just kills them. And you're like, okay. But if this was a real Star Trek, they'd talk it out. You know, there would be some exploration of that. And there just isn't any.
I think that they consciously have moved away from that for many reasons. The fact that this costs $180 million, this has to play beyond our borders very well. I don't think our philosophical musings go a long way in Thailand and Germany and places that they need.
Make this, it should be its own thing. You know, it shouldn't be.
I'm glad that it's a standalone movie, though. I thought left a bad taste in my mouth, honestly.
That's why I really wanted you to see this, because it's really good, but it's not great, because almost in some sense, I don't know, it just doesn't, I mean, I'm happy it's a standalone movie. I'm happy it exists. It's something that you can always, I do like these kinds of, you know, entries into franchises, because there's something that you can kind of go back and revisit. They're not really that important, but it's, you know, I don't know. It's just, well, they're not really that important, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it comes out to in the end, is it, like, if this ended today because of the box office or whatever, it would, you know, the unfortunate consequence is it's kind of a lackluster ending. You know, really. But I still enjoyed it. I mean, so there's some really great moments in it. It's a bit long. But of course, I heard he cut 30 minutes out of the damn thing.
Which is why it's cost $180 million. Say to you, these movies cost so fucking much because they're at 2 hours and 20 minutes. Plus, they cut out like 20 minutes. So stop shooting 3 hours worth of fucking material.
And from what I can hear, it's all extra stuff. It's not
it's extraneous.
It's not – yeah, it, definitely. But it's not like whole scenes and stuff. It's like extended – like someone does this or that extra in a scene here or there and different things like that. And you just think, God, why the hell did you ever think you really needed that, you know?
You said it's Galaxy Quest like.
It is. It's funny. You know, it has its moments of being funny, but he's it's kind of introduced it's introduced in a very Galaxy Quest way. It has a funny introduction to it.
Right.
But he's kind of lost in a way, in the same way that they were kind of lost. Yes. He feels like everything's, you know, the same all the time. He's fucking bored. He's like, shit, you know, well, I go on these missions. I do this. You know, I talk to these aliens. Like, hey, how you doing? All right, fuck.
Yeah,
you know.
Like he knows he's in the
so he's bored.
Episode. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He knows like he's stuck in the thing. But in a sense, like they almost get called, you know, like in Galaxy Quest, there's like the aliens that don't, they think they're like their top shit, right? They think they're like, or the Galaxy Quest guys are like real and legit and all this stuff. And that kind of comes into play here as well. I don't know.
I wonder if that has to do with Simon Pegg.
Yeah, it does. Writing. It completely have everything to do with Simon Pegg writing it. And you'll notice, like when you see it, there's little pokes and jabs and things like that throughout it.
Too much Simon Pegg is good. Obnoxious to me.
It's small. It's really small chunks. And it really plays out really well. The whole beginning with him... you know, being bored with life and everything really plays well throughout the rest of the entire movie as well.
So you're recommending
it? I think it's really well written. It's just unfortunate that it's kind of just an extra tacked on, you know, episodic thing. But it was still very good.
And you're recommending
it. So I recommend it. It's just not a major installment in the franchise, you know.
All right, let's talk a little bit about The Boss, because I want to know about this before I talk about Ghostbusters. This is Melissa McCarthy's movie earlier in the year. I have yet to watch this one. It looked to me like True Beverly Hills all over again, but with a meaner edge. What's going on here? Worth watching?
I really would say no, not worth watching. It's a fine movie. It doesn't hurt you in any way if you watch it. There's just nothing really that great about it. It has a few moments that are pretty funny. You know, love Kristen Bell, Peter Dinklage, very good, but it's just so basic, you know, like I just can't really explain how just basic this movie is. Like there's nothing really great about it. And it just kind of exists and goes along and does everything you expect it to do. and in such a way that it's just not really that interesting or funny for that matter.
It sounds like it's preordained from the start, and it's, you know, Daniel Perfunctory.
Very much,
to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, you hear the idea and you think, oh, and then that's exactly, you know, what it is. There's no surprises in here. I mean, Peter Dinklage plays this evil guy, or the bad guy, I guess, in a way, but he's really in love with her, and you think, oh my God. I mean, really? Christ. And so it's just shit like that where you're just like, okay.
I damn near watched it last night because it's on Vudu. You know, we share that Vudu account. Who I don't know. So Trevor and I can see what each other are watching. And I saw you watch. I thought, oh, maybe I knew we were going to do the podcast. I'll watch that. And I thought my time would probably be better spent watching
watching
else.
One of the other movies would have been much better.
Even watching Batman and Superman again, I think, over that.
Yeah, well, I mean, this exists. And it's fine. If you're bored one day, you know, watch it. It exists. But I just can't say that I would recommend it to anybody, unless you're a huge fan of, like, Melissa McCarthy. I guess obviously then you would need to watch it.
And I'm not a big fan of Melissa McCarthy, but I did see Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and
you know, it's a hard one to call because I was expecting absolutely nothing.
You told me it was good.
I said it's pretty good.
I mean, good,
I'm on
pretty
the fence
good.
On
good's
a recommendation,
good.
On
not
it.
Great, so but you said good.
I think it's got 1 foot over the fence on the recommendation side. It's barely straddling me recommending it to people because it's not the travesty you think it
is. Well, how's it play? I mean, I said Men in Black 3. Is it anything in that ballpark?
Like 3?
Men in Black.
Yeah, it's very Men in Black.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And when I'm watching, I say, this is basically Men in Black style. I mean, the scares are produced. It's a lot scarier than the first one was, you know, with the special effects and like what they're doing horror wise. It's got its moments, really.
It's scarier. The trailer looks goofier.
I thought the opening scene was a lot more intense than anything that they did in, maybe not scary, but like the use of sound design was better. You know, it's just updated. Chris Hemsworth is pretty much wasted in that role. I don't know what they had for him. There's probably a longer version that's coming out with the whole sequence that's cut here and there. And the cameos are throwaways at best. I mean, they do nothing for the story. If anything, they just remind you that you're watching a remake here, but Kristen Wiig is strangely subdued in the role that Murray really broke out in, and there's no reason. She's just given nothing to do. McKenna is a scene stealer. I really like what she was doing. I know people think she's obnoxious. I think she's funnier than shit in this movie. And Leslie Jones is really good too. Strangely enough, it's the big stars of Wiig and McCarthy who are just playing straight man a lot of the time, which is not to their strength. So it's a strange dynamic what's going on there. The writing at times, it's pretty good, and it's self-referential, and they do a couple of zigs when you expect them to zag, so it's not the fucking travesty I expected, and I guess that's the best thing I can say about it, that it combines decent enough laughs, some clever ways to integrate original stuff, but it is slavishly devoted to the original in a lot of ways that I think it didn't need to be. You know, I don't know how they could. I mean, it's probably the best version of this you could have ever wanted, so I don't know what fans were pissed off about, really, because I don't know how you could have made this any other way. It's not, if you put guys in this movie, it still would be the exact same thing. It's not like it would have changed it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so it sounds exactly what I thought it would be like after seeing the trailers. It sounds like exactly what they were selling.
It's not horrible. It's a fairly entertaining time out. You know what I mean? It's pretty much, like I said, exactly what you'd expect. It's a barely recommendation for me, because it did have a couple of amusing scenes, and I overall liked the vibe. And I like these kind of horror comedies that are Men in Black style movies. I mean, I even like RIPD, so take it for what you want.
So you recommend it?
Slightly, yes. It's a moderate recommendation. So don't kill me.
I feel like that's a safe, I feel like you're being safe there.
I am being safe.
I think you recommend it, but you're just putting...
I'm being very political and presidential on that one.
Being very, step very carefully here.
So what's going on with Sharknado? Because I've done some homework and I was trying to catch this. I watched the first two this weekend. Have you seen all of them?
First of all, can I say, I love that you call it Sharknado.
Isn't it a Sharknado?
It's a Sharknado, but you keep saying Sharknado.
Well, yeah, because it's like, you know, it's cooler that way.
No, it is. I wish it was called Sharknado. That's something I want to say that now. It was all right. I mean, it's silly and stupid. I really thought the third one was the best written one as far as knowing that it's stupid, you know, and being a bit smarter about it.
I'm only through the first two, and I actually think the second one was a huge improvement over the first so far.
Really? Well, I mean, watch the third one and see if you agree with me or not. But
well, has this lost its bite? See what I did there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, The Force Awakens. See what they did there?
Yeah, they did.
I mean, Jesus. Yes, they did a Star Wars, you know, Star Trek. The references are ridiculous. You know, they're for any movie under the sun, it's in here. And I don't know what to say. I mean, the acting's terrible. The dialogue's terrible. The special effects are terrible, which is fine and it's fun, but I mean, that's all it is. It's just, it exists and you can watch it. I really don't know how. I can't give this one, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down. It just, it's for, you know, the reason that it exists. How can you judge it? Unless you don't like these kinds of things, but I do like these kinds of things.
What I love about you, man, is this. I'm going to be honest. You do not touch marijuana, but yet you've seen all four Sharknado movies. That's what I love about you right there. This man does his due diligence. Right, let's talk about real movies again, because that's basically a one-off. What's up with the Brothers Grimley? I wanted to see this, or Grimsby.
This is the Sacha Baron Cohen movie.
Box office tank.
Yeah, it was a tank, and for a good reason. It's pretty, it's pretty dirty. But I thought it was a lot of fun and funny. Very, very funny at times. But overall, I mean, you know.
I think it's
Sacha Baron Cohen, so it has, yeah. I mean, it's Sacha Baron Cohen, so there are moments where you are just dying laughing, and then there are some pretty long stretches where you're, you know, maybe a little chuckle here and there. But it's an action-type movie, and the action's actually really good, which is why this probably, you know, isn't directed by him, but is directed by Letterier, or whatever the hell you say his name.
Yeah.
And you can tell, you know, you can really tell this is directed by a professional.
A guy who knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, but I actually thought it was a decent flick. You know, he plays they're two brothers, and he plays basically separated when they're kids. Not at birth, but when they're kids, they get separated, and the one kid goes off to be a spy, right? He grows up in like this kind of rich parents and stuff, and becomes a spy, and Sacha Baron Cohen just stays in Grimsby, basically. It's just this kind of, you know, wrong side of the tracks neighborhood, and he's basically just white trash in Britain, you know, whatever that would be. And I don't know. I just thought it was funny. The action's good. I can't tell you why it's funny, because I do not want to give away the gags and stuff, which are ridiculous. They did a... There's a Jimmy, if you don't believe this is funny, I mean, the funniest scene of the thing, when Sacha Baron Cohen was pushing this on Jimmy Kimmel Live, they actually played the clip in its entirety, but it's so dirty that they couldn't show it on TV, so they just showed the audience's reaction and the sound going. And I just wondered forever, I wanted to see this movie, because I was like, what the fuck was that? And when you see it, it's, oh my God, and it's ridiculous, and it's over the top, and it's just, it really was something that I couldn't stop fucking laughing at.
It's shock value.
It's shock value, but once the shock value's gone, they keep the gag going for a little longer, but in such a way that it's funny and it's smart, and that's where you think, oh, these guys aren't just being stupid, it's being funny.
Honestly, I thought The Dictator was really underrated.
Really? I'm not a fan of The Dictator, to be honest. Not a fan of Borat either. Or
I like Borat, but I didn't care for Bruno at all.
Yeah, not a fan of Bruno either.
The Ali G movie was great.
I thought that one was really good.
But his actual Ollie show
was really good.
That's the key. That's the key.
But this was more of a movie than more of a Hollywood movie, I would say, than the other ones. So that's why
this looks right up my alley and my sensibilities. I will be watching this. So thank you for putting it on there. Also, Midnight Special, which just looks right up my alley, but I haven't had a chance to look at this one. I almost want to save this one to talk to you about.
I don't know if you want to save it or just skip it all together.
No, don't say that.
This movie, I'm gonna give you a mashup of movies here. You tell me if this sounds like something that you would want to see. Escape to Witch Mountain, Tomorrowland for adults.
What happened to Starman? I thought this was Carpenter. No, I don't want
to
see
that. No, man, this is Escape to Witch Mountain meets Tomorrowland. I mean, it's just, it's one of those movies where they think that by not explaining things to you, but having all the other characters like know about shit and be like, oh my God, we know where we're going. We're going here on the map. We're going to go here. We got to do this. We got to do that. And you're like, well, why? But no one's saying anything. Like, that's somehow a good plot instrument to use. Like, fuck that. That's horrible. Especially when you get to the end and you just think, see it and you think, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? This was the whole thing? Like, why? You know, and this movie's slow as shit to boot. They really don't do much. Special effects are decent, but they're just not, I don't know. This movie's not as powerful as it thought it was. It reminded me a lot of, a lot of movies that are like this that come out. I hate to say it, but like the Maggie, you know, the Schwarzenegger movie, which sounded great, much like this. But then when you watched it, it was kind of a letdown. It really didn't, you know, use anything to any great degree. And this was the same way.
That was a movie I really wanted to see. So I'm a little bit disappointed.
Me too. And I was, yeah.
That came out right around the same time as Everybody Wants Some. So those were the two indie films that I was dying to see. And the theater here had them, and they, honestly, I went on vacation, and they were gone. It played it for maybe 8 days, both these movies, and it was gone. Mm-hmm. It really drove me nuts.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you want, the acting's phenomenal. Like, Michael Shannon's great. Joel Edgerton is really great.
Always great. He's a good, great
Kirsten
actor.
Kirsten Dunst is really good. The thing about this, I will say, is that this movie relies on the actors more than it does on any plot or anything like that. Especially just facial tics and things of the actors to be able to get across an entire emotional context of a scene like that. That's what this movie does. So it's hard to even necessarily follow in such a sense, because they'll lay it out for you. But then, you know, I mean, when you know, I really don't want to fully ruin it, but when Michael Shannon's basically like, his goodbye to the kid is just a look. Like, calls out his name and look, and then he goes off and he does his own thing, you know, and the kid goes off and does his own thing for the ending. They kind of split up, but it's like there was no, like, you know, emotional goodbye or anything. It was just a shared look. And so you think, wow, that's interesting. That's the whole movie is very unemotional.
That sounds like Donnie Darko.
It's really weird.
Convince me how important that was.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Good acting, though.
I saw Tarzan. Not bad, actually. I was surprised. I liked it. I give it a recommendation fully. This is, I don't know about a franchise, but for a little one-off, it's a movie that knows that its premise is fucking ridiculous. So they saddle Tarzan. I mean, a white Englishman running around the jungle. I mean, Edgar Rice Burroughs' tales are inherently fucking silly. And they put George Washington Carver, Samuel Jackson's character, a real-life person, mm-hmm. in there, who is basically the audience, who is not the – goes along but is not the guy that is used to jumping into trees and doing all this crazy shit. And is like, what the fuck is going on here, you know? And it's got humor in it, and there's some things that I was thinking – surprisingly, it's written by Craig Brewer, who wrote Hustle and Flow and Black Snake Moan. And it's got a pretty interesting script. I'll say that Christoph Waltz basically plays Christoph Waltz again. I mean, I'm getting a little tired of that, you know, pristine, prissy madman. It's a little much at this point. I hope they don't do that for Indiana Jones. I have a feeling if they do another Indiana Jones, he's going to be the bad guy. I'm over it with that. But as a one-off, not a bad little movie. It takes a bit of time to get started and get him in the jungle and doing Tarzan-type things. But it's a fun little ride. I'll say that The Jungle Book was a better movie, but this wasn't bad for what it is, and probably the best version of Tarzan you can have today. It's better than the Casper Van Dien version, strangely.
Really? That's saying a lot.
Yeah, right.
So Margot Robbie, she's just the best thing ever.
She's in it, but I'm a little tired of Margot Robbie now. I mean, she's
how could you be tired of her? She's not in shit, man. She's only in a couple things that have come out lately.
What is? Why do I feel like I've seen her everywhere?
Because
then?
She is everywhere. I mean, when you talk about Tarzan, it's just Margot Robbie. And you said she's barely in the fucking thing. It's like, I believe it, but that's all they talk about is just Margot Robbie everywhere. But she's not been in shit, really. Or in really anything that people have seen aside from Tarzan and now Suicide Squad, right?
She was in Focus, but nobody saw it, really.
She was, that's what I mean. She's barely in
Wolf of Wall Street, people remember. She was the bombshell
She
in that.
Was barely in it, man. People remember her. I mean,
people remember that scene.
Yeah, sick people like you.
Oh, yeah, and most of our listeners, okay. Like, first thing about Margot Robbie, they probably see her in the hallway.
Nothing that she's done so far really is a... is a maker of stars, but she's just a star on her own. I like her. I have nothing against her, but I don't know. I haven't seen any. What has she done? I mean,
she's
nothing.
Been anointed.
She really has, but she hasn't really done much, right?
Let's talk about Everybody Wants Some. What did you think, first of all? Briefly.
I thought for 10 minutes it was terrible, and then I thought for 10 minutes it was great, and then I thought for the next 10 minutes it was terrible, and then for the next 10 minutes I thought it was great. And that's pretty much how it went for me. You know, it was just, at times I thought, why does this exist? And other times I thought, oh, this is actually fairly interesting and fairly accurate in how these young men might actually act.
I had the similar reaction, and by the end of the movie, I was thinking it was an instant classic. I think I like this more than
Dazed
and Confused.
I liked it at the end, yeah.
I think I like, and I never, I respect Dazed and Confused, especially because it's a seminal movie from my era and whatnot, and mm-hmm. You know, it's got a great soundtrack and all these stars and stuff, but I never loved it. I respected it, and I've seen it more times than I want to admit, but this movie, for some reason, was, I just thought, more interesting, but it has problems where it's not about anything. As I'm watching,
loses focus big time.
They forget about that girl until about 80 minutes into the movie, and it's only, you know, 2 hours long, which is fine for what they're doing. Talk about an actress who should be in more stuff.
Jesus, isn't she great?
I love Zoe Deutsch. She is. I've had a crush on her since the first movie mm-hmm. I saw her, and I think she's a fantastic actress on top of it.
No, she puts everyone like to shame in this movie when they finally put her in it.
Yeah, I mean, she's a fantastic
You're like, oh,
actress.
Damn, she can act. She doesn't fit in with these people.
No. But I thought it was a pretty interesting, lackadaisical, but it's very Linkletter. I mean, it's measured. It's people wandering. You know, it's kind of stopped. I thought it was more of a musical journey than anything. I mean, all the different genres and places they went to and styles of music that were popping up. And I thought it was interesting. I don't know. But by the end of it, I really liked what I had seen for some reason. I know I can't explain it really intellectually better than that. I just had liked what I had seen, and I thought I wanted to spend more time with these guys. I wanted to see what happened next. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I did enjoy it, but I don't know. Linklater, I mean, there are moments when you think, why the fuck is this? Or why is this a scene in this movie?
That's what I thought Boyhood was
jack
a collection
shit.
Of.
That's exactly what was the problem with Boyhood as well, was you just think, why is this a movie? Like, what is important about this scene? And absolutely nothing, right? And there was a lot of that in here. But then there were other scenes that were important, you know? So I don't know.
I thought this was a nice, nice way for him to get back on track and do some small stuff that I just, like I said, I thought this was an instant classic. I don't know why it hit me the way it did by the end of it.
I don't know.
I really, really enjoyed it. I would highly recommend it. All right, streaming online pick. I think this is pretty safe to say that we have the same one, which would be Stranger Things, the Netflix hit. Is this not the best thing to come to online for a long time?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean,
it hits all the right buttons.
Oh my
man.
God,
I mean,
it's so good.
It's so spoiler, you know, heavy that it's hard to talk about stuff, but writing, top-notch, casting, top-notch, music, fantastic. I don't really know what else to say without going into like what the hell is going on here, and that there's really, how do you do a season two?
Well, they're going to continue on, right, with the story. I mean, it is open-ended. It's set up for a season two.
I just think they should maybe even stop at one and just leave this thing as a fucking
no,
mess.
No, I want more. I didn't want it to end. I wanted to keep watching it. I wanted more. So I'm good. I need season two. I need season three as well.
I tore through
it. If I can get
so
all of it
much.
Right away. Yeah. I mean, to say the least, I watched it in like a fucking day.
This is what I wanted
so
Super
good.
8 to be, and it wasn't.
Super 8's close to this. It's just,
it wasn't for me. This is way more on the nose of what I wanted when I saw mm-hmm. Super 8. Although I like Super 8.
I mean, Super 8's more commercial, I would say, than this, really. And this, I think, gets away with being a little more genuinely 80s because it's, you know, already bought and paid for.
This
sense,
is Monster
you know?
Squad, man. This is the best reboot of Monster Squad they could have ever done. I mean, that's basically how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I wish that it was maybe a little bit more monsters. I don't know. I can't. I don't know what to say about this.
It's hard to. Yeah.
It's interesting. Did you see the Fred Decker quote?
No. What did he say? Fred Decker, the writer of Monster Squad.
Fred Decker, who is currently writing with Shane Black on Predator.
Nice.
He basically said, "Who are the guys that write this?
The Dufo brothers.
The Dufo brothers." He says after watching that, they now sit there and they say, "What would the Dufo brothers do?" Him and Shane Black are sitting there.
Huge compliment.
So yeah, big compliment. But yeah, I mean, and he said, and he's obviously enamored, loves it. Within that quote, it says basically it's very similar to a lot of things that he's previously done, which is Monster Squad is what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. He even sees the similarities, obviously.
Yeah.
But they
well, it's hard to miss.
You know, Carpenter, Decker, all these guys it's one big 80s stew. And I usually think that these cloying wannabe 80s things, I had a hard time even watching Dope because it feels like it's forced nostalgia.
Right.
And maybe it's not, but that's how it comes off in the trailer. And this hit all the right notes for me.
And it's so good. I mean, everyone's, Winona Ryder's fucking great in it.
Great comeback role for her.
David Harbour is so good as the police chief in this, the sheriff. I mean, it's just, and the kids are good. I don't know. Everyone is just good. The writing's good. Yeah. I mean, it hits on every single level.
But as you've heard from everybody, because this is like the talk of the summer.
I know, right? That's why it's almost like, I don't even know. I'm not going to just sit here and say the same thing. Yeah.
Yes. Let's jump into trailers.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Okay. We're prepared.
So we had Comic-Con recently and a lot of trailers dropped. We're going to talk about a few from that.
God, didn't they?
Some from a more recent time. Let's talk about the one that came from Comic-Con that really flew under the radar. That's King Arthur. Guy Ritchie's retelling with Charlie Hummus. I don't even know how to say this guy's last name. Humane Society?
Hunaman? I mean, I'm just going to come out and say it. I know the real reason you're trying to be like, I don't know this guy's name. You don't like the pick. You wanted Jai Courtney, didn't you? You wanted Jai. He was up for the role. He lost out to this Charlie Hunnam guy, right? And you're upset.
I'm more upset that our boy Joel Kinnaman didn't get it. RoboCop himself. Jai Courtney and Kinnaman are pairing together in Suicide Squad. And I think my fucking brain might explode when I see it. It's like the Expendables of B-movie actors. But now this is the movie that Charlie Hummus decided not to do 50 Shades of Grey and took this role instead because he thought this was going to be a franchise and a better career move.
And it looks great.
Looks terrible.
Oh shit.
This is King Arthur.
This is classic Guy Ritchie shit filmmaking as far as I'm concerned. It looks like a Guy Ritchie movie.
That opening shot where they're running and it's like a handheld on their face is fucking terrible. Whose idea was that? It's a
Guy Ritchie.
That
is a straight out of the Guy Ritchie plan book.
That takes me immediately out of this and disorients the shit out of me. And then you're like, this trailer's too long. I'm already bored by the end of the trailer. I can't imagine the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it looks like an overly worked movie. I mean, what is going on? It's just so much to go through to get to what? King Arthur is going to pull the fucking sword out and he's going to become king. What is this whole thing? What's going on?
To my knowledge, they still really never made a good King Arthur movie. The last one, the Fuqua one, was
It was, yeah.
It was okay.
It's passable. I think that's a passable one, but
Excalibur is
terrible.
Like being on acid and watching King Arthur. I mean, that movie is fucking, you can't really make heads or tails of it most of the time. So they had a shot, but to do it like they're franchise building or world building, it's just, this is not, nothing, everything's going to be universe building.
They want it to be an action movie, right? I mean, that's the problem, really, is they want it to be a big tentpole movie. And it's like, that's not, you know, you shouldn't just cram every story into that. I mean, look at the tagline of this. It's called King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Are you fucking kidding me? Legend of the Sword? Like, who are you trying to fool here, you know? I mean, God.
Let's just move on. That's just a bad movie. All right, M. Night Shyamalan. Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Yeah.
What was it? M. Night Shyamalan-a Ding Dong. That's the best one. Yeah.
Well, our boy there from Philly has got a new film out, Split, which looks like is staying in the vein of his low budget foray, The Visit, which you said was moderately successful in terms
yeah.
of being. But you said it wasn't terrible, but you said it wasn't anything special either.
The fact that they're pushing that in this trailer kind of makes me worry about this movie.
I think this is looks kind of almost 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Which was an excellent film, so it's probably going to pale in comparison in a lot of ways.
I know, I can't tell. I think it looks really good. I think James McAvoy looks really good in it. And I like the I love the idea of this. Mm-hmm. It could be potentially really, really good. But, yeah, I mean, how many times have I been fooled by Shyamalan-a Ding Dong here? You know, a lot.
Shyamalan has rang your doorbell a couple times. And the weird thing is you actually like the off one, the one that nobody likes. You like The Lady in the Water.
I like Lady in the Water. No one's seen Lady in the Water.
That's true. That's why no one likes it. You know what people have seen is The Happening. And nobody liked that one.
No, that one's no good.
I do want to see this. I think I agree with you. McAvoy looks like he's acting his ass off in this. And I hope it doesn't get too contrived and predictable. But if he can maintain what he sets up in this trailer.
I mean, McAvoy seems to be able to play the whole split personality thing pretty well.
He has turned into a
different
actor.
Different people, as far as that go. But I don't know. When the trailer starts talking about, you know, people with split personalities can change their physical like, ways and shit. And he's like, you know, it's just like, oh boy, have we gone a bit too far with this? Maybe I don't know.
Is this turning into the Hulk? He looks like he's getting angry.
Right. I mean, I felt like Ten Cloverfield Lane was really cool. The fact that it went over the edge like that, but it did it. It didn't tell you it was going to do that, and it also did it in such a way as that it was able to end the first half of it. It was able to close the door on that and open a new door.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't like horror movies that just decide they need to one-up themselves by, you know, going into territory that is just ridiculous.
We'll see if this is any good. This next movie looks... it looks like it should be premiering on Netflix, to be honest with you. Office Christmas Party.
I like this trailer, or I like the idea that I will soon be able to watch this movie that, as you say, does look like it shouldn't never be in theaters.
This looks like 200 Cigarettes, but remember that movie with all those famous people in it and it was dog shit? This looks kind of like
that.
That
was terrible.
This doesn't really have a laughable moment in the trailer, but it has a lot of people I like, so I don't know how to feel about this.
I just like the idea of the movie, and it does have a lot of people that I like as well, so I'm going to watch it. I'm waiting for it.
I'm waiting for you, son of a bitch. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about probably the most confounding trailer on the show tonight, and that's The Great Wall. Okay, where do I start? So I started watching this trailer, and I'm thinking, why the fuck is Matt Damon in this movie? And I don't ever have a problem with, like, with the whole whitewashing thing doesn't bug me all that
much.
Well,
this isn't whitewash.
Like,
no, I
disagree
have, like, with
10
that.
Stars and stuff. But but what the fuck is this movie? But what is this? This reminds me of 47 Ronin, if anything.
Well, probably a bit like that, right?
Asian set.
This is an Asian movie. Right.
Spectacle.
I mean, very, very Chinese, right? In every way, but also happens to have Matt Damon in it for Western appeal. This is not whitewashing. That's totally retarded. He's not playing a Chinese person, which is really the problem when you look at what whitewashing really is, right?
Like Doctor Strange, Gods of Egypt, all these things they're talking about.
Right. I mean, the Doctor Strange thing, to be fair, they did explain away, but you're right. The Egyptian movies that they've made a few of lately have been
unexplainable.
You know, those are a bit like, well, okay. But this is like, there can't be a white guy in fucking China. I'm sorry. You know, we're going to have a problem with that, where's the LGBTQP, you know, XYZ shit? You know, where are the other minorities in America that aren't in this fucking Chinese movie, right? I mean, there has to be a point at which that we're being ridiculous. I mean, this is a major thing to have the Chinese people making a movie that they put a white guy in to try to sell to us, right? in a sense.
It's kind of strange.
It's kind of, it's a little backwards. I mean, you have heavy involvement from Hollywood, obviously, with Universal here. And I believe this is a legendary thing, which is actually owned by the Chinese now. But
yeah, fully.
But still, you know, it's very tied into Hollywood here, obviously. So it's, I think that that's interesting. But overall, if you want to talk down about the trailer, yeah. It's a teaser trailer, and I really still don't know what the fuck it's about. So it's monsters, right? I mean, it's like a giant lizard. What just looks like a giant lizard climbs the wall and eats a guy, and that's kind of the split second that you get to see what they're fighting. So they're kind of holding back still.
That could be a nightmare sequence, first of all.
But
I don't buy that this isn't 13th Warrior bait and switch, where they're like, oh, it's out in the fog and mist and
turns out
to be the fucking Vikings.
That's the thing as well, right? But there's all the William Dafoe is in this too, so there's another white guy.
Yes,
there's two white dudes.
Dafoe is. I don't claim Dafoe. Do you claim Dafoe? They no.
We don't know what he is.
We don't know what he is. He's not even human, for Christ's sake.
He might not be. Yes, he's the Green Goblin. So I don't know. But he was in this trailer. I don't remember seeing him. So there's more to this. I think it's hard to make a decision based off this teaser trailer. I will say that I think this is a terrible teaser trailer. I mean, it does not get me really very excited to see this fucking movie. Because I don't know what it is still. And also, I don't know, the Great Wall. Isn't it silly? What'd they build it to really keep out? I don't know, fucking King Kong? Like, what? Godzilla? Well, that's Japanese. Is that racist? You know, I don't fucking know what's going on. What is the deal?
It's going to be King Kong in the Great Wall. It's the franchise building.
Gojira! Okay.
Maybe this is like a prequel to Godzilla. We don't know. Legendary does own the rights, right?
Oh, shit.
I just put some shit together. There you go. Some Abrams type shit.
You just did some detectiving.
That's what they call me. Private Dick. Let's talk about Hacksaw Ridge. Mel Gibson returns to the directing chair and comes back with a World War II action drama.
Mm-hmm. He got this from Angelina Jolie.
This looks, old hat to me.
Yeah, I mean, from the titles look like every, you know, the titling, this whatever. I do love, absolutely love that this is from the director of Braveheart.
And yeah, I like
Mel Gibson's name is nowhere to be found on this thing. I say that's okay. That's decent. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm gonna take a gander that this will be, you know, very well made. But will ultimately not be a very good movie, like these have been recently. They've been just devouring true stories, and the war ones have just not been very good.
I can't count Gibson out as a director, though. I mean, obviously,
that's what I mean.
Braveheart stands out there.
It's gonna be well made, right?
Yeah.
I mean, guaranteed. But it might not still be a good movie.
I mean, Apocalypto is an undiscovered gem. People should really watch for visual storytelling. I mean, that is. Everyone's talking about Bourne. And, he doesn't even say that much, but like there's so much action and movement. I'm hearing this guy say tonight, watch fucking Apocalypto. The guy doesn't say anything, basically. And he's fighting fucking jaguars in the jungle with a tooth. Love that movie. All right, what do we got next? Wonder Woman. What the fuck is this trailer, man? I hate this trailer.
Really?
I hate this trailer.
I actually kind of liked it.
No. Why is she fighting in World War One? Why is it set in World War One?
Well, she's really old.
Okay, well then why is it set in the Old West?
Why are you upset? I mean, this reminded me a lot of, you know, Captain America.
Captain America,
shit, so
with a little bit of Thor's kind of goofiness thrown in there.
Yeah, so I'm good. I think this might be actually somewhat enjoyable. I like that it's different, this and the next one we'll talk about. I like that they're seemingly completely different than what we were getting before.
Yeah, and the next one we're talking about, might as well just jump into it, is Justice League, which I think is a very successful trailer and a nice nod in the right direction of where they want to be. It still has those Snyder visuals, but looks like it has, I don't want to say the tone of a DC movie, but just at least of one of the television series that they're doing, you know, like some of these.
Sure. Well, you know who's absent from this?
It's Goyer.
Yeah, fucking Goyer.
Who'd
so
have thought?
I guess we got down to the bottom of where that, well, what the problem was before with the other ones.
You think this trailer looks much better, right, than what we have?
Jesus, this looks like a completely different fucking story and shit. Yeah, I love it. It looks fun. People are speaking. There's like dialogue and shit.
They're acknowledging one another's presence.
Like, people are speaking and shit. This isn't just some ridiculous thing. So, yeah, I think it looks surprisingly very, very good. And I'm a little excited about DC's offering now.
Let's talk a little bit about The Man of Tomorrow. We have a second here to talk about this. The Vimeo link you sent me last night. It's available on Vimeo right now. I can't think of the guy's name. It's John Williams.
I don't remember. Yeah, John, something like that.
He's done a couple of these. Yeah, he's done one with Ripley. I saw the trailer for that. It's pretty interesting. Black and white, cut together Alien 3 in Alien Resurrection in a different movie. This, he's cutting together Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman. I got about half an hour into it before I had to turn it off. And it's not terrible, but it's still... He's lucky that Man of Steel is so episodic and strangely constructed already because he can pull from that very freely. But you're still left with the shit, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's still shit.
Well, yeah, I know, because there's nothing in either one of those movies that's worth saving.
That's the thing. There's no gems, really.
No. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. I think that those were just huge missteps, and this is a step in the right direction. And Suicide Squad, I think, is going to be... is a really good way to kick this whole thing off. And so let's just forget the other ones.
I'm really surprised that I want to see Suicide Squad as badly as I do.
It looks so good.
This wasn't on my radar for the longest time. And the more and more I keep seeing, even just the visual styling of it, you know, the look, the pop cultural neon drenched advertising is just, it's very catchy. It's very punk. It's something different, at least, in the sea of what I've been getting, a steady stream of $200 million misfires. Just not interesting. Right.
I just, just air. Please don't do me. Don't fuck me over again, man.
Yeah. I mean, Deadpool was the last movie I saw this year that I was genuinely surprised at. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, goes for a lot of people this year. I mean, that movie, if there was ever a year that... You can maybe get a fucking Best Picture nomination out of a comic book movie. It might be Deadpool of this year.
Nah, it's not even... I mean, it wouldn't even be close.
Obviously not, but I mean, it's for just a popular...
Well, I don't even think it was... I don't think it was... Oh, well, yeah. I suppose that way, yes. I mean, I don't think it was that good of a movie. But, yeah, I think this looks way better than that. This at least has some artistic flair to it.
Can't wait to see it. Strange that a David Ayer movie is going to be like the big box office blockbuster, you know?
I know, right? And it doesn't really look that's like a David Ayer movie. I'm worried.
Want to see how much homogenizing has gone on?
Oh, God. Well, not even in that sense, but I'm just waiting for it to become incredibly boring halfway through and nothing's happening. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're like, oh, there's Ayer. Yep, there it is.
Coming up for Ayer.
I mean, the fucking, God, the goddamn tank movie.
The tank movie, man. The opening shot was like,
holy shit, that movie, man. And that has a great trailer, too. It made really me, and I love the idea of it. And then you watch it and you think, God, it's like everyone wants them in a fucking tank. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
That opening shot in the fog with the horse. I'm just like, we are in for a long, long night here. And I liked Harsh Times. I mean, I think it's one of the most underrated movies of all time.
That one is surprisingly pretty good.
Loved Harsh Times. It's got a great Christian Bale performance in it, too.
Yeah.
Check that one out.
It's fucked up. It has its own problems, but it is actually has moments that are pretty damn good. So maybe we'll get a little bit more of that. I don't know. Maybe also this is a studio film. I don't know. It's Warner Brothers, though. Fuck. And they love to let their directors run wild. So I don't know. I'm worried.
Yeah, they have let the chain off in recent year. Look at Guy Ritchie. He's mauled that studio into bankrolling King Arthur after he over-directed Man from U.N.C.L.E. We'll see what this brings too. That's going to wrap up episode 305 for the Movie Mavericks. We want to thank you guys for joining us. Check themoviemavericks.com for the latest reviews, interviews, podcasts, all of that kind of good stuff. Also, check us out on TalkShoe, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you may be getting these podcasts. We'll be back with you guys with a retro podcast next week. I think we're doing Highlander. Are we doing Highlander?
Yes, still. We'll do Highlander.
All right. We're going to do a Highlander retrospective. So you guys get out your DVDs, watch them this week so that you'll be fresh when we watch them. Or don't, because it might be a shitty movie. I haven't really gotten into it yet. So we'll talk soon, guys. Thanks for joining us. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard. We are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh, my. Another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com/warp9. Engage!